Do you have a plan for your life? Something that you have in mind that you are going to do? If you do not have a plan for your life, somebody else is going to have a plan for you. Maybe your boss at work, he's going to have plans for you. He may want you to work all the time, do extra projects, take on extra work for no extra money. He's got a plan for you. It may be your spouse that has a plan for you. They want you to do this, do that, go get this, fix that. They've got a plan for you. Maybe somebody you know that is neither a relative or a boss, but they've got a plan for your life. Well, there's somebody else that has a plan. He doesn't have a good plan for our life, but he has a plan for our life. And that's what I want us to consider this evening. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So Satan has plans for us. Satan does. Both of these passages are talking about Satan. And I want us for a few minutes this evening to look at the plans that he has for us. And there are three things that Satan wants to accomplish in our life. And the first plan that he has for us is to keep us out of the church. The devil wants to keep every responsible soul that he can out of the church. And he has several reasons for doing this. One of the reasons is because he knows that the saved are in the church. And if he can keep you out of the church, he knows that you are not going to be saved then. And when you think about hell, I don't think that hell was, and I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but if it was created for man, because we know the scriptures say, it talks about hell being reserved for Satan and his angels. God didn't want anybody to go to hell. He didn't want anybody to be lost, but Satan is going to be there. Satan is already condemned. He is already sentenced for an eternity there, and his angels and those that follow him. So since Satan is going to be there, he wants to take as many people out of God's army as he can to be there suffering with them. When you are out of the church, you are not saved. And the devil knows the moment that you are saved, what does the Lord do? He adds you to the church. So he wants to keep you out of the church, and he's going to do everything that he can. Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The devil is not going to allow you to be added to the saved if he can help it. Because there's been this great battle going on since the beginning of time. Satan and God, evil and good. And everybody that God takes out of Satan's army, that weakens Satan's influence. And friends, something else about keeping us out of the church. Think about the blood of Christ. Where is the blood of Christ? Where is your blood? It is in your body. Your blood is in your body. Where is the blood of Christ? It is in his body, in the church. And the church does not want you to, the devil does not want you to come into the church, because that's where the cleansing blood of Christ is. If we turn to Acts, in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So the church has been purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And the devil knows that it takes the blood of Christ to wash away sins. So he wants to keep you out of the church. The Satan knows a lot about the church. In fact, Satan probably knows more about the church than many religious people. And he knows then that the blood is in the church and that it cannot be reached outside of the church. Think about that. If the blood is in the church, it cannot be reached outside of the church. So he wants to keep you out of the church. Christ shed his blood in his death, and we are baptized into his death, Romans 6, 3 through 5. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we see that in the church is where we glorify Christ, we glorify God. And we cannot glorify God through any other organization. The devil knows this very well. And again, he seems to know this better than some brethren. He doesn't care what other organizations you belong to. He just does not want you to become a member of the church, because you cannot glorify God in any other organization. There are all kinds of man-made organizations that people join. They do good. The Kiwanis, the Lions, the Rotary Club, they are set up to help people and to do good. But none of those glorify God. They do not glorify God. So Satan is happy that, and it's, I'm not saying it's wrong to belong to some man-made organization, but don't think that that can replace the church. Satan is happy for you to belong to those and not belong to the church. Satan is happy for all of these people that are in the denominations in the world, because those denominations were not bought with the precious blood of Christ, and you cannot glorify God in those churches. And it is by the church that the gospel of Christ is preached. If you're in Ephesians, turn on over, or look down in chapter 3, down to verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. How do we get the gospel out to the world? It is by the church. That is the instrument. That is the organization that God created. That is the conduit to get the gospel out to the world. So Satan's plan is to keep us out of the church, because he does not want us to spread the gospel to others. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Romans 1:16. Satan doesn't want people to believe, so again, he is going to do everything that he can to keep the gospel from being preached. And he doesn't care what is preached, just so long it is not the gospel of God. So Satan is, I'm sure he was thrilled with all the sermons that was preached this morning in all the denominations in this village. He was thrilled because that is going to keep people out of heaven. He knows that. He's deceptive. The devil knows that nothing else will save a man except the gospel. Romans 1:16. So Satan doesn't try to keep people out of denominations, and he's glad that they belong to denominations. As I said, the battle between Satan and Christ has been going on since the Garden of Evil. And the devil also, the Garden of Eden, the devil also knows that Jesus is the head of the church. in Ephesians 1:22, verse 23, and 5:25. The devil does not want us to be part of a body of which Christ is the head. Again, it's this battle that we are in. And Christ is not the head of these various man-made organizations, these denominations. So the devil doesn't care if you belong to them. And in fact, he would be happy for you to belong to some denomination. Perhaps he can make you satisfied in some other body. We were talking about this morning, the God being a respecter of men and the inclusiveness of his commands and the exclusiveness. And when someone, that whosoever, that universal, obeys God, God is going to accept him. Whoever does not obey him is going to be excluded. But perhaps the devil can find another place that's going to make you happier than the Church of Christ. Maybe it's the Baptist Church. Maybe it's the Assembly of God. Maybe it's the Methodist Church. The visitor that was here this morning, when I was talking with him and he was talking about some of the places he attended, and by the names, I couldn't even tell you what they believed. They are like these community churches that believe and accept anything. And the devil is happy for you to belong to those. So the devil has many different ways of keeping you out of the church. And he'll argue, too, that the church is not essential to one's salvation. You don't have to be in the church to be saved. That's one of his big arguments. Another one of his big arguments is, yes, you do need to be in the church, but you don't need to do that today. You can do that tomorrow. That is one of Satan's biggest tools in so many ways, procrastination. Yeah, you're right. You ought to be a member of the Lord's church, but you've got plenty of time. Don't worry about it today. You can become a member later. Well, so his first plan for you is to keep you out of the church. The second plan that he has, if he cannot keep you out of the church, then he has a plan to get you to go back into the world. If the devil does not succeed in keeping you out of the church, he's going to do everything he can to get you to go back into the world after you've become a member of the church. And you stop and think about this. This is a very successful plan that he has. Very successful. How many people do we know of our friends and family that have been added to the church and then they've gone back into the world? This is a plan that Satan has. He's had it for all of those that have gone back into the world. And he has it for every one of us that's sitting here this evening. His plan, since we are in the church, is to try to get us to go back into the world. Paul speaks of Demas having forsaken me, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4:10. What caused Demas to forsake Paul? It says it was the love of the present world. And how many people do we lose today to the love of the world? Many. Is there an attraction to the world? There is. What's it going to cost you, though? It's going to cost you your soul. We have warning after warning. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So again, Satan, he deceives us. He makes the world look attractive. It's okay to follow Christ and to do this in the world. It's okay, nothing's going to happen. It's very subtle. And little by little, people go back into the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does that mean that we can't love anything in this world? No, we should not have our, well, let me clarify that. There are some things out of the world that are just flat out wrong. The fleshly sins that exist of various natures. But then the world itself, we could love the world and put the world above God. Recreation, all the things, all the different choices that we have to make. If we love the world more than we love God, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants every bit of us. And part of that, too, is for our protection. Because if we don't love him 100%, if we love God 98%, 99%, and we love the world 1%, what might happen? Well, one thing for sure, God is not going to be pleased because he's a jealous God. But if we have a divided affection, if our affection is divided, the danger is the wrong affection is going to pull us back into the world. And it's a fearful thing to go back into the world. One is then in a worse condition than before he went into the church. If we turn over to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the foreknowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire." You stop and you think about that, and that is just a sickening, disgusting picture of someone that goes back into the world. Just like when you see a dog vomit, and then it goes over and starts eating that vomit. Or you see a sow that is washed, and then it goes back to wallowing in the mire. To wallowing in the mud, in the garbage, in its own body waste. It's just disgusting. And you say, how could somebody do that? They do it. They do it. And they have become accustomed to it. And it's a sad situation. It's an awful thing when a Christian escapes the pollution of the world. They are washed, they are cleansed, they are sanctified, they are washed by the blood of Christ, and then they turn around and go back into the world. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" So just stop and think about that. When we become a Christian, when we are baptized, when we make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we repent of our sins, we want to be cleansed by his blood, and then we go on sinning. What is there to save us then? There's no other sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice. We've trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant as worthless. So how does the devil get Christians to go back into the world? He does it again by several ways. One of them, he will do everything he can to weaken a Christian's faith. Is that hard? No. He'll tell you all you have to do is don't worry about reading your Bible today. Don't worry about that. You're busy. You've got other things to do. Because you see, the more time we spend in God's Word, the more our faith will be strengthened, the more we will be able to answer Him. So He will do everything that He can to get us to not open our Bible. And if you come, just listen to me. Don't open your Bible. He's telling you right. How do you know that? How do you know that? We've got to open our Bible and check what everybody says. The more we do that, the more we are going to want to do that. We should study and read our Bible every day. That's one of the ways He gets people to go back into the world. Is that a big thing? No. It's the small things that if we don't stay on top of the small things, it can cost us our soul. Evil companions will corrupt good morals. The people we associate with, the people we hang out with, the people we run with. We say, well, they're a good person. Well, how are they morally? Are they a Christian? Worldly enterprises and just social things. Again, in and of themselves, they are not wrong. We have to be careful. We have to be careful because Satan will use those as the little carrot to dangle out in front of us to lead us back into the world. The doctrine of once saved, always saved will cause a lot of people to fall. There's a lot of Christians, you ask them if they believe that, they would say no, but does their life always demonstrate that? Some Christians live as if once saved, always saved by what they do and what they do not do. So again, Satan's plans, if you don't have plans for your life, he's got plans for you. His first plan is to keep you out of the church. If he fails there and you are become a member of the church, his second plan is to get you to go back into the world. If he can't get you to go back into the world, he's got one other plan, and that is to make you worthless in the church. We'll say you want to be in the church, that's fine. So he is going to let you, he's going to let you stay in the church and then try every way he can to render you useless and worthless in the church. But what did Christ teach in John chapter 15? I am the vine and ye are the branches. And when we have looked at that, Christ talks about bearing fruit. And it's interesting, he talks about abiding. Abide in me and I in you. Unless you abide in me, again, there's that condition. He mentions that three times in verse 4. Verse 5, he talks about abiding in me. Verse 6, abiding. Verse 7, abiding. Verse 9, abiding. Verse 10, abiding. It's a couple times in verse 10 to abide. We have to have this relationship where we are connected to the vine. And when we are connected to the vine, what are we to do? We are to bear fruit. He says, bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, if we are worthless, and that's what Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be, if we stay in the church, he wants us to be worthless and useless. If we are worthless, what does Jesus say that he is going to do? I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So when he takes these branches away, what's going to be done with them? They're going to be cast aside and burned up, because that's what you do with a worthless branch. But that is what Satan wants us to do, is to become a branch that bears no fruit. And again, he will deceive us in many ways, just like we were talking about in this lesson this morning. Some people have the idea, the concept, we're going to be judged as a church. We aren't going to be judged as a church. Some people think that they can coast along in a group. We are going to be judged individually. Individually, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it is be good or bad. So individually, we must bear fruit. We cannot be in the church and be useless or worthless. So again, with this idea, Satan has many devices he will use. He will use discouragement. Discouragement. You can be part of the church, but you know, there's so much going on in life. You know, don't give it your all. Don't put a lot of effort forth. You just need to take care of yourself. You're too busy to study. You're too busy to open your Bible. He will use all of these things. You know, you could use that money for yourself. Don't give it to the church collection. You deserve to do something with that money for yourself. And he will talk people in to not giving as they ought to. Satan has a lot of soldiers in his army in the church that are excuse makers. They're excuse makers in the church. You ask them, how about doing this or that? And they'll give you 101 reasons why we can't do it instead of why we can. Satan likes that. He likes that. He has talebearers and gossipers in the church. He has people that try to cause division. We saw that that was a problem at the church in Corinth. So Satan, if he can't get you to go back, if he can't keep you in the world, you become a Christian and he can't get you to go back into the world, he's going to do everything he can then to make you worthless and useless and disruptive in the church. And here's a list of things. It's not original to me, but someone else wrote it up, but it's a good list of questions to ask ourselves to see how fruitful and how busy we have been in the church. How long has it been since you called on some wayward Christian to try to get him to come back and restore to the Lord? How long has it been? How long has it been since you personally visited some sick person whose illness was announced? You know, we announce people every service. How long has it been since we've personally visited some sick person that hasn't been able to get out and see how we can help him? How long has it been since you've gone up to a visitor and introduced yourself and gave them a personal invitation to come back? Again, we have visitors on a regular basis, not every time. We have, it seems like every month we have people coming. We had a young man and his daughter visiting this morning. How long has it been since we've gone up and personally introduced them to come back? How long has it been since you asked someone to come to the worship assembly with you? You personally invited a friend or someone you know to come. How long has it been since you talked to someone about obeying the gospel? And again, if we aren't talking about it, are the people that we associate with going to think that it's anything important to do? When is the last time, how long has it been since you took the time to do something helpful for an elderly brother or sister? How long has it been since you showed hospitality by inviting others into your home for a meal? How long has it been since you went to a private place and prayed for the Lord's work in this community? How long has it been since you compared your weekly contribution to the amount you spend on pleasure? You know, we go shopping, and you take whatever amount you're thinking about, and boy, that doesn't do much in a store, but when you give it to the Lord, that's a really big amount. Or is it? It's the same. How long, where does our heart lie? How long has it been since you gave serious thought to the proposition that the Lord could appear again any moment? Do we live with that thought in our mind every day? Is this the day that the Lord is going to come back? What do I need to be doing? What should I be doing? You know, we've looked at the plan that Satan has for us. God has a plan for us also. But may the Lord help us to overcome the devil and his plans for us. So Satan has a plan for us, but we had better have a better plan. Again, if we don't have a plan, somebody else is going to have one for us. Satan is spending every minute of every day to steal, kill, and destroy us. He is seeking us like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And we need to be aware that this is going on. If we are in the world, he's going to try to keep us there. If we are in the church, he's going to try to draw us back into the world. If we don't go back into the world, he's going to be satisfied to keep us in the church and just make us worthless and useless. But friends, we can overcome his plan. We can be victorious. 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Friends, we have the power to overcome Satan. Don't let Satan win. Commit your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus is the Son of God. Be buried with him in baptism. Arise a new man, walking in a new life, trusting in God and following the plan that God has for you instead of the plan that Satan has for you. Is there anybody that wants to do that this evening? There is. We invite you to come forward. Make your wishes known now as we stand and sing.